let's bring in John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter at Sportsnet.ca. John, thanks for joining us. You know, I tried to figure out how you would explain this to sort of average North American non-soccer fan, you know, and somebody said, well, it's like Canada not making the Olympic hockey competition, but it isn't because there's the process of qualifying is long. You know, there are weeks between matches to worry about stuff, to fret about stuff, to come up with alternate strategies. It's a much more gradual punch to the gut than I think anything we can come up with in North America, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't really think of a comparison, to be perfectly honest. And I heard the Canada not at the Olympics comparison too, and I don't think that's apropos. It's a weird one, Jeff. I mean, the only way I can explain it is that, you know, what it means to the country is that, you know, much like Canada with hockey, you know, soccer is embedded in the DNA of the country of Italy. And it's, you know, and I'm not overstating this when I say that Catholicism and soccer are the two biggest religions in Italy. So mm-hmm. for them not to qualify, this is, you know, this is like questioning God. This is their faith being, you know, rattled. So it's a big deal. It's I appreciate that not many people here might not appreciate how big of a blow this is, but in Italy, this is absolutely massive. This is, you know, the worst thing that could probably happen to the country as a whole.
I'm curious as to who the masses, who are they mad at? Like, are they mad at the coach? Are they mad at, I don't even know who they're mad at.
I think it's Sherry. I think it's a combination of everybody. It's mostly sort of aimed at Ventura, the coach, because okay. I think the belief is that, you know, he certainly had the talent in terms of players. He just didn't use them properly. And, you know, why he didn't bring on Lorenzo Insigne yesterday seemed like a baffling decision. So they're mad at him. They're mad at the Italian Federation for hiring Ventura in the first place, because I think it was a strange appointment. He hadn't really achieved all that much at club level. And, you know, a lot of people didn't think he simply had the gravitas to sort of manage the Italian national team. And I think, you know, they're angry at the players. As I said, it's not, there's talent there. They are good enough to qualify for the World Cup. But the fact that they came up short in a 2-game series against Sweden, who, no disrespect to Sweden, a good team, but on paper, nowhere near as talented man for man as Italy, they came up short. So I think there's a lot of angry and blame to go around for everyone in this case.
Now, as you point out too, you know, you're talking about the, and I love the way you worded this. One of the reasons, the reason this failure really hurts is because qualifying for the World Cup has kind of provided a sense of consistency and merit that is otherwise lacking in Italy. And I think that's also part of it, isn't it? In addition to it being, I mean, it's one of the reasons it's part. It's like religion is it's a constant. It's a consistent. It's something you can count on.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as I wrote about it today, it's, you know, I think a lot of people have this romanticized idea of Italy, that it's this fabulous country where people are sipping espresso and they're, you know, zipping around on mopeds, and it's everyone's living la dolce vita, but it's not the case. Italy is sort of the transparency and the efficiency with which we take so for granted in Canada and North America simply doesn't exist in Italy. It's weighted down by bureaucracy. There's political and social corruption at every corner. It's not a meritocracy. It really isn't. Soccer is the one of the few things in Italy that provides clarity that everyday life in Italy doesn't. So, you know, and Italy always qualified for the World Cup, not because of, you know, they bought success, but because they were always good enough to qualify. And that provided a consistency, and they merited being there. So the fact that they're not there this time, it sort of shocks. It kind of goes against the grain of everything, you know, that Italians kind of stand for, right? It's just, it has literally rocked their world. It's the one thing that they could rely on, you know, in a country where, you know, they're changing prime ministers, it seems like every 6 months. And there's just, as I said, corruption and inconsistency in every walk of life, you know, at every corner that you turn.
Now, John,
sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, even before this loss, there was, you know, there was talk in Italy, at least I'm led to believe there was talk in Italy about, you know, instituting rules in La Liga, such as requiring four academy prospects to be on the roster for every game, at least dressed and on the bench for every game. You know, perhaps limiting the number of foreigners on the team. I mean, we saw Germany kind of go through a mental reset after, you know, it found itself sort of lacking the type of success it expected at the international level. Are we on the verge of seeing that with Italy? Or, you know, I understand there are different structures in each country. And I presume, I mean, the coaching structure in Germany, stuff in Germany just seems to be more structured. The sports administration in Germany seems to be more structured. But are we going to see some sort of rethink in Italy now?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I'll answer it in two parts. With regards to, you know, the narrative about, you know, there's too many fours in Serie A and this is one of the reasons why they didn't qualify, I think that's complete and utter nonsense. That's not at all, you know, the reason. So I think that can be dismissed out of hand. Mm-hmm. The young stars and developing young players, I think that's a far more interesting question. Italy has a pretty good track record of developing young talent. They have, you know, really, they have like a national academy based in Florence. And I think a lot of the big teams do a very good job of producing young talent. The problem is that they don't give them an opportunity to play.
Right.
It's very rare for a young sort of Italian player to break through in the first team. And what you'll often see is, you know, a team like Juventus, if they have like a young budding star that they've developed, they'll send them out on loan to, you know, another team in Serie A who's, you know, further down the table, or a team in the second division to gain seasoning. Mm-hmm. They seem very reluctant to give young stars a chance to play. And the reason is because there's such pressure in Italy, like a lot of other places, but I think it's especially acute in Italy, to win, right? I mean, coaches have to sort of produce results.
Right.
And so what are you going to do? Are you going to put your faith in a young, you know, 21-year-old or a teenager, or are you going to spend 30 million euros on, or, you know, a proven goal scorer, you know, whether he's an Italian or an older Italian veteran or a foreign player? You're probably going to do the latter if you're the coach, because, you know, your job is on the line. So while I do think Italy does a good job of developing, producing talent, the Italian Serie A clubs have to do a much better job of giving that talent a chance to shine and prove themselves and giving them opportunities to play.
For us here, it was so jarring because there were zero goals, like zero,
right,
over two games. So, you know, we think, wow, what are they doing wrong? But it had been going wrong for quite some time. It'd been going downhill, and we just didn't see it here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the fact that they didn't score over the two legs against Sweden, it didn't surprise me all that much, because when you look at their qualifying campaign, you know, the last three games, they didn't score a terrible amount either. So I think this wasn't something that suddenly came out of the blue. They had been having problems scoring in their three previous contests, including one where they got, you know, shocked or, you know, shellacked by Spain. They gave up four goals. So this wasn't something that came out of the blue. And the other thing, too, is, and I don't think enough people are talking about this, you got to give credit to Sweden. I mean, they went into Milan where Italy hadn't lost a world qualifier. I think they were like a perfect 10-0 there. And, you know, they got the result. They defended brilliantly for 90 minutes. They really kept their shape, were well organized, and they made it incredibly hard for the Italians, who simply couldn't break them down. And likewise in the first leg, they were defensively stout. So as much as, you know, the story is about Italy falling short and, you know, not scoring a goal, I think it's equally about, you know, the brilliant defensive performance from Sweden.
John, Does FIFA need to look at, or UEFA, or, you know, whoever is responsible for the qualification process, especially in Europe, do they need to look at maybe streamlining it somehow? Is it too long as it is right now, or do you like the process the way it is?
I'm okay with it now. I mean, if they want to streamline it or sort of, you know, make any changes, what I wouldn't be opposed to, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but make it two-tiered in the sense that teams like San Marino, Estonia, Andorra, these teams who are minnows, Faroe Islands, another one, who have no chance of qualifying, make them play like a preliminary round.
Right.
Don't sort of like waste everyone's time by putting them in with, you know, the likes of Germany, Italy and France and whatnot. I think, you know, other federations do this. They have tiered qualifying where not everyone is treated equally, right? I mean, the United States and Canada don't start off in the first round of CONCACAF qualifying. They're introduced at a later stage, and they let, you know, the lighter weights duke it out, so they thin the herd a little bit. I wouldn't be opposed to Europe doing that as well.
Now, it's hard enough to get this loss that, you know, obviously devastates the country and doesn't take you to the World Cup for the first time in 60 years, but there are a handful of great veterans. That was their last game. That's not a real great way to go out. I mean, the goalkeeper himself, like a 20-year veteran, 175 caps, that's tough.
It is tough. And Gianluigi Buffon, such a, you know, a classy player, such a gentleman. I mean, I'm not sure if it was shown on the broadcast yesterday, but, you know, during, you know, the anthems, a large part of the Milan crowd was booing the Swedish anthem, and he made it a point to, you know, kind of shush the crowd, and he was applauding the national anthem. This is a guy who's really kind of carried himself with such class and grace during, you know, his entire career. He's been such an excellent servant for Italian soccer, both at club level and for the national team. Keep in mind, you know, he was, you know, in 2006 of the World Cup, he had the tournament of his lifetime. And, you know, shortly after Italy won, you know, Juventus was relegated to the second division as part of that the match-fixing scandal. He could have rode his ticket. He could have easily gone to any other club in the world. Teams like Real Madrid and Manchester United were after him. Could have easily left Juventus high and dry, but he remained loyal. He went down and played in the second division. It'd be like, you know, Sidney Crosby playing in the AHL if, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins were relegated. But, you know, he remained true and loyal to Juventus and got them back up and played a big part in that. So I can't say enough about Gianluigi Buffon. It's a, you know, it's great that he has won a World Cup, so he has that under his belt. But for him to go out like this, it's a shame. You would have liked to have seen him go out in a much better fashion because, again, he's been such a wonderful servant, not just for Italy, but I think for the game at large. He's been a wonderful ambassador for the world of soccer.
Let me ask you this, John. With Italy out now, what does Italy do during the World Cup? I mean, that. No, honestly, I mean, you know, will ratings be awful? Is there a... I don't know. Is there a spiritual cousin, a country Italians may adopt? I know it's hard to wrap your head around, but I'm just wondering what Italians will do during the World Cup.
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, and the answer is I don't really know because they haven't sort of been faced this problem for 60 years. I suspect that, you know, this, you know, much like in the United States, most Italians aren't going to care. They're not going to watch it. There's no sort of spiritual cousin
right
for Italy. You know, they're not going to suddenly, you know, pledge allegiance to, you know, France and certainly not Germany or England.
Right.
So I don't really know what they're going to do. I suspect for the summer months of June and July, the majority of them will just go to the beach and live their lives like they normally would, like it was a non-World Cup year.